Yo, yo, yo. Welcome to Starbucks, powered by Chris Gates Fitness. I'm your host, Anthony DiNardo. With me, we have Jim Rosati. Jim, happy Monday.
Happy Monday. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hope everybody had a good Kentucky Derby weekend.
Yeah, there you go. If you celebrate. If not, hope you just had
everyone. I'll say this. Everyone should celebrate the Kentucky Derby. It's just an excellent event.
That's fair. I didn't.
And you know what? You know what? It takes 2 minutes. You just got to take 2 minutes out of your day, basically.
There you go. So there's that. I hope you enjoyed your Cinco de Mayo, if that's what you celebrated. Hope you enjoyed the Pirates series victory, if that's what you celebrated.
You can celebrate all three. Celebrate all three. There you go.
So you also celebrated Jared Jones Day. If you celebrated Paul Skeens Day, there's a lot of celebrations this weekend.
Yes.
So hope you enjoyed all of them.
It was a good weekend.
It was a good weekend, though. Yeah. But yeah, I feel like most importantly, the Pirates finally won a series.
That was good.
Haven't done that in how many weeks?
it's been a while.
Yeah.
When was the last time the Pirates won a series?
It has to be right before the Phillies, right? They split the Phillies, didn't they?
They split the Phillies.
So it had to be right before. Was that Baltimore?
Yeah.
There's no way they won a series.
Baltimore was the weekend before. There was a series in between Baltimore and Detroit. Philly. That was only a two-game series.
Oh. I don't know.
Phillip, it was Baltimore.
You're bringing up. It was Baltimore.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, it was Baltimore. Yep.
So there you go. That's
April 7th. That was a month ago.
Now, granted, they split some since then. So it wasn't like they started losing. They were splitting, which is good enough. And then it all unraveled. And then they started getting swept. It's been bad. But, hey, 2 out of 3 from the Rockies. I mean, I know it's the Rockies, but we said that about the A's. Last time we were on the show, we're talking about, hey, if there is a team to get this offense going, it is the A's. So if they can take 2 out of 3 from the A's, get things going, you know, maybe get back on track. And what they do, they made the A's look like Cy Young candidates, got swept. It was awful. So, you know, then Rockies, it's like, well, I'm not going to say that again. But, yeah, like, I'm not even going to say, too, that they got this, like, offense going. They barely won on Saturday. And then, I mean, yesterday they had a big inning. Bats did come alive. Oh, no, Cruz went over the wall almost twice. Rowdy and O'Neill almost went over the wall. They decided to look at it a little longer than they should have. But, I mean, you could say the Bats came alive yesterday a little bit. So that's cool.
Yeah, yesterday, I mean, 5 runs. That's an offensive explosion in my book at this point.
Yeah. It was the second time since tax day they scored 5 runs or more, which, by the way, 5 runs was the max. Oh, Jim. Anyways. Just to let you all know, BetOnline is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from NBA, golf, MLB, and NHL playoffs. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to you. Follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today and use your mobile device to get into the action. Once again, BetOnline, where the game starts.
So
2 out of 3. I don't know. I feel like we want to talk a little bit about the series. We want to talk a little bit about Paul Skeens. We're going to have Anthony Murphy on the show, of course, and finish it up with the series preview against the Angels.
Okay.
You know, I guess quickly to kind of rehash a little bit of this weekend. The pitching still looks good. And Jared Jones is amazing.
Yeah, Jared Jones continues to do crazy things. Like,
yeah,
his performance on Saturday, you don't win that game. You don't win that game without Jared Jones, right? I mean, they scored zero runs. It took them over eight innings to score a run. They lose. They lose the game without him. So
I know, and he gets no credit.
Yeah, right. So I mean, he's a difference maker, and yeah. What's the stat that you had, the whiffs through seven starts?
So I had to correct myself. It was 122, I believe, right? Compared to Tanaka's 113.
Yeah. So I mean, more swings and misses through his first seven starts in the majors than anyone ever since they started tracking that statistic. I mean, that's pretty impressive. He just keeps doing things every time out that just make you go, like, he's the real deal. He keeps kind of proving to you he's the real deal over and over again. Like, this isn't just a pitcher being hot. Like, he's legit.
Right, right, right. You can, like, he's not Zach Duking his way to this performance. You don't just have 122 swing and misses through seven starts just by luckily putting a ball where no one can hit it. You just can't do that. Now, I mean, teams can certainly adjust, right? I mean, it is only seven starts, so teams can adjust, but the talent is absolutely there. And again, like, you're talking about other players that he's being comped to in this regard. I mean, we're talking about the first seven of a career, but, you know, it was a couple weeks ago we talked about the first five of any player's starts, and he was, what, fifth most swing and misses to a start of the season for any player at any age, any point of their career, you know, any time. And Jared Jones was like fifth. You don't luckily do that. Like, Jacob DeGrom didn't just become luckily an ace.
Right. Yeah. And the names that he's being mentioned with are aces.
Right. DeGrom, Scherzer, Strider.
I love his mentality, Verlander, too. Yes. I think, I don't know if it was on the broadcast yesterday or no, it was he was on Rob Friedman's podcast, Pitching Ninja. Mm. And, you know, there was a clip yesterday that Rob put out. So go check it out if you haven't. But the gist of it was essentially like, what's your mentality out there on the mound? Right. And his mentality was like, F you. I don't want to see you anymore. Like he kind of talked about it. He's like, I hate the hitter. I want to make his life miserable. Like just complete F you. Once I get rid of him, I never want to see him again. Like the whole Pittsburgh Clothing Company, you know, the whole arrive, shove, leave. Like that's Jared Jones. He's like, I'm here. I'm going to beat you, and then I don't want to see you anymore. Like, It's just the perfect mentality, and for somebody that young to have that sort of mentality, and then being able to back it up, like he's got to just be riding high, so high on confidence right now. And when you combine that level of talent with that level of confidence, it's just like the anti-Mitch Keller, right? When Keller first came up, and it was like, all right, well, we can see all of this talent, but where's the rest of it? Jones has it all. He's got all, everything you want out of a pitcher. He's got it all.
He has that crazy reliever mentality. Like, he's a starting pitcher who's up there with a mentality of a reliever. But like you said, he has a talent to back it up too. And again, I can't stress this enough. And we haven't really gone there to see him truly implode yet and just have that like really, really bad start. But regardless, like, the thing that gets me is his attitude. You know, like a lot of young guys can simply, you know, with that mentality and not winning every time a batter comes up there, right? He, like I said, he gets pissed off with himself. Like he channels that energy within and he doesn't implode. Like I just find, like, especially that young, like so many guys would just lose it. And he doesn't. I mean, he channels it and just comes back at attacking. And to me, that's, I think, like his best quality right now. And again, like you see the talent. So I'm not taking that away. I mean, obviously that's there, but to be that young and I guess to have that mentality and already like this focus, I mean, he just looks like a poised veteran.
Yeah. I mean, he does not look like a, what is he, 20, 22? Doesn't look
like he's turning 23, but he's 22 still.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, Jared Jones, again, can't ever talk enough about him. But let's go to this offense a little bit. Like I said, Sunday, it kind of broke open. They scored 5 runs. O'Neill Cruz went over the fence. Roddy Tellez and him also came close. I mean, they hit the fence. I mean, they're two real well-hit balls. Andrew McCutchen has been looking close for a while. Brian Reynolds is still Brian Reynolds. Is there hope? Like is maybe the offense turning, or is this maybe just a blip on the, yeah, we still stink, but hey, we scored 5 runs accidentally.
Yeah, I'm not ready to say the offense is turning because they scored 5 runs against Ryan Feltner
yes.
one time. So, yeah, I'm not there yet. It was a pathetic series, right? They scored 2 runs on Friday against Cal Quantrill and the rest of this pathetic Rockies team. They scored 1 run off of them on Saturday, and that only run came off of Nick Mears. They couldn't get a run off of Saturday's starter, which was Austin Gomber, right? So we're talking about like they're making Austin Gomber, they're making Cal Quantrill just look like aces out there. Those two pitchers are terrible. There's a reason why Cal Quantrill, like this was literally the only job he could find was the Rockies. Like this was it. No one wanted him at all last year. And the Rockies were like, you know what? We're trying to lose a lot of games this year because we're a terrible franchise. So come pitch for us. You can help us do that, right? Same with Austin Gomber. Like Austin Gomber is awful. The Rockies are like, hey, we want to lose some games. Come pitch for us, right? Right. So, yeah, I'm not ready to say this offense is turning anything. 5 runs off of Ryan Feltner on a Sunday afternoon isn't enough for me to give them any really sort of credit whatsoever. Now, they face Los Angeles this week. If they're able to put a few games together, good. But they have to get going. Like they have to get these bats going now, because if they don't, then they've got Chicago, Milwaukee, Chicago. Chicago's staff is pretty good. They you know, Jameson Taillon is who they're facing on Friday. He's got a 1.13 ERA. They got to face Justin Steele this weekend, 1.93 ERA. They've got to face Javier Assad, 1.66 ERA. So like they're going to go into this Cubs series and they're going to face dudes, really. And then Milwaukee, you know, Peralta's on board there for the Milwaukee series. So like they got to hit now, because if they don't hit now, they're probably not getting going against those guys, at least at this rate.
Yeah, that's a very fair assessment. However, ironically, we know that they're going to look terrible against the Angels, and then they'll face the good pitching, and that's when they'll come alive, because baseball. But at any rate, I'm with you. You know, like it was certainly encouraging to see the 5 runs yesterday, but like honestly, also it's baseball, but like they should be doing this, and they should be doing this for a while now. And they've allowed, again, we talk about the A series now, the Rocky series. Not one pitcher they faced in those two series was good. Not one. And they made everyone look, except for yesterday, incredible. Just incredible. So, yeah, yesterday I felt like was, like, it's back. And I know I've been talking about Kutch. Like, Kutch looks close. Of course, Kutch is in the leadoff spot a little bit more now, too. So that's encouraging. So, like, maybe Kutch is close. O'Neill Cruz is at 2 home runs. That's encouraging. Like, Jack Swinski had a nice series, I guess, the time that he, like, was at the plate and allowed a hit. I mean, he did hit the walk off. Yesterday was a little better.
Neither of his hits though were like over 90 miles. Like they were still just little dinker right. dunkers bloops over the shortstop's head. Like,
so
Jack Stawinski needs to get it together. He's about to get on my shit list. Jack Stawinski. 2024 All-Star, Jack Swinson.
But he's also due for this, like, five home run week. So maybe
that's the thing. You never know with him, right? Like,
right.
We're used to these peaks and valleys. And right now, this valley is like the Grand Canyon that he's in. He's got to get out of it soon because you can't just keep trotting him out there that much longer. Like, if he does this another week or two, then you're looking at a 45-game stretch of basically Austin Hedges performances. Yeah, that's what he's doing, right?
Yeah. Yeah. He is now hitting wise per se. He's like the second worst. He has a 50 weighted runs created plus. Henry Davis has a 49. So technically speaking, Henry Davis is worse in that regards. But that's where Jack Swinski is. Henry Davis got demoted to AAA territory. But then also, like, as far as WAR goes, because his defense has been bad this year, he is the worst, as far as value goes, the worst player on the team. He has a negative 0.6 WAR.
He's terrible.
It's awful. It is awful. So, again, it's encouraging that he was connecting. He's also one that, like, it just doesn't look off. Like, he's only striking out also, like, 19.6% of the time. This is also not like the old Jack Swinski where he's struggling because he's striking out 40% of the time. He's just making terrible contact altogether. So at any rate, I don't know. Like, I'm not ready to say also that this team is turning the corner, but there were some things that were a little bit encouraging this Colorado Rockies series. I will say that. And again, like, O'Neill Cruz hitting the ball hard. He's looked a little bit better recently, not the A series. Everyone looked awful the A series, but like the week before, he was starting to turn a corner, it seemed. So like the two home runs here, a little bit encouraging. Connor Joe, still Connor Joe. He looks so good. Brian Reynolds, you know, Brian Reynolds. So it's like, there's still some stability there at the top. It's just like after, you know, the one and two who remains. And again, there's some encouraging signs of saying, but like, to me, this hasn't turned a corner yet at all.
No, it was good to see Brian Reynolds get back on track. He was kind of going through a little bit of a skid. So he had a really good game yesterday. Cruz is the main guy, though. Like, if they can get Cruz going, because they need somebody who can drive the baseball. And he's the guy who is going to have to do it. Like, he's going to have to do it. You saw what happened yesterday when Cruz was driving the ball. The Pirates scored 3 runs yesterday, basically, because of O'Neill Cruz hitting the baseball far.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
If that doesn't happen, they lose. So they need him to do that sort of stuff more consistently. And it was a good series for Cruz, something hopefully he can build upon.
For sure. So, Jim, Paul Skeens hit yesterday. You had a tweet that Cespedes Barbecue interacted with, you loser. But yeah, you said something, and we kind of talked about this behind the scenes a little bit here. Like, you know, we're wondering, we've had Alex on. Alex talked about, like, this could be his last start. Right, this is like his first time off of 4 days rest. You mentioned how, you know, with Jared Jones, what did they do, Jim?
Yeah, and with Jared Jones, his first time on 4 days rest. That was when we all got mad because they pulled him after 5 innings and 59 pitches, right? So I was expecting something similar to that. Turns out Paul Skeens had a 65 pitch count limit yesterday. That was his pitch count. So yeah, they did the same thing with him. First time going for 4 days rest. He went 4 1/3 innings, 66 pitches. Ran into a little, I mean, it was really his first, not even really a rough outing, right? The second run he gave up was a home run. And what was funny about that was, you know, if you were watching the game, he actually walked the guy, right? And then they challenged ball 4 and they called it a strike. And so he had to go back to hit, and then he hit a home run. So in the majors, he wouldn't have given up a second run. He would have walked the guy, right? So just a little bit interesting there. I thought he looked okay. He didn't look completely sharp, but he looked fine. He looked good enough to be in the majors, in my opinion. You know, that's probably the final box that I needed to see him check to say, okay, let's bring him up. But Yeah, I don't think we're there yet, unfortunately. So, yeah, sad.
Yeah.
Just, yeah, I mean, if I think he's still got probably at least 2 to 3 more starts to make in AAA, which is unfortunate, you know, if you're a Pirates fan. I don't think he's going to be making his debut this week.
So there you go. So to rain on some parades here. I know the vibe was a little bit different a few days ago, but seems like maybe that is changing. We'll find out for sure, but that might be a little bit disappointing. But at any rate, it is funny how he gives up 2 runs in 4.1. And that's his worst start. Like, everyone's like, oh man, it's a bad outing. And it's like, hey, it was 2 runs in 4.1. He still was very effective. So, like, if this is Paul Skenes at his worst, I'm ready for Paul Skenes.
Yeah, I'm ready for Paul Skenes too. But yeah, I think we're going to have to wait a little bit longer.
Well, let's not wait for the next segment. Let's go ahead and get Anthony on. Before we do, as always, Jim.
Yeah, let's take a look here. So, you know, this show this week, every week, it's sponsored by Chris Gates Fitness. Chris actually has his own podcast. So when you're done listening to us here, make sure you look up the Chris Gates Fitness podcast on whatever platform you listen on. He publishes brand new episodes every week that dive deep into different aspects of health and fitness to help you learn what works and maybe more importantly, what doesn't work. You can find links to listen on every podcasting platform from his website at chrisgatesfitness.com/podcast, or just search Chris Gates Fitness on your platform of choice. And as a reminder, Chris is an online fitness coach from Pittsburgh, a huge Pittsburgh sports fan, friend of the show. He works with people all over town, all over the world to chase their fitness goals. You know, whether it's losing body fat, building muscles, or doing both while improving your overall health and wellness, Chris helps people find a sustainable approach with diet and exercise to make progress that sticks. You know, he works with myself, and I'll tell you what. So I was there's some comments here in the chat. I was in Louisiana this week, right? Some pretty good food mm-hmm. in Louisiana. So thankfully, you know, we put a plan together. We're like, hey, we're gonna be in Louisiana. Some Cajun food. You can eat some Cajun food while you're down there. Let's just have a plan about it. So yeah, if your day out, he's the guy to do it for you.
Yeah, there you go. And you were there an extra day.
Am I back?
I just wanted to remind you.
Did I get lost? Am I here?
Yeah. You're good now, though.
Okay. Ridiculous.
Yep. Apparently Bob Nutting doesn't want anyone to get in shape either. He's in the internets shutting us down. But yeah, so cool stuff. Let's go ahead and we'll get Anthony, our Starbucks on deck segment, going. We'll get Anthony Murphy on. Just of course, let everyone know this was pre-recorded. I was celebrating Cinco de Mayo last night, so I was not on here. So it was Jim and Anthony. So let's go ahead and do this.
Audio. DiNardo. There's no audio. There's no audio on that, DiNardo.
There's no audio?
Yeah.
How come I'm hearing it?
I'm not hearing anything. Some technical difficulties here this morning.
They're saying, oh, I'm listening to it. Really?
Yeah, I'm not getting any audio.
Interesting.
Brett says he's just not that great at reading lips. I don't know if that would be a great, that's a great thing for the podcast segment either. We can maybe read lips here on YouTube, but we're going to need some audio for the podcast.
Let me just try sharing it again.
All right. Welcome to the show, yeah. Anthony Murphy from okay. Bucks on Deck, our weekly segment about, you know, the Pirates farm system. Anthony, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, man. Doing pretty good. It was actually a fairly good week, I guess, if you want to look at it in the system for the most part.
Altoona even won a game.
Yeah. 15 game losing streak done. Like things only up, can only go up from here.
Yeah, you win one more game and that's called a winning streak.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. So like I said, welcome aboard. We've got a new thing we're gonna try out today. We're gonna basically talk about two hitters, two pitchers throughout the organization. Kind of recap how they did this week, how they're doing this season. So, what do you got for us, Murphy? How are the prospects looking?
So we'll start on the pitching side since I'm the pitching guy, and we'll go with Bubba Chandler as the first guy on here. What is it? He started Tuesday. What? I mean, he's been good. Most of the numbers have been good for him. It's still been, you know, he struggled with the control command. He had that one start where he didn't make it out of the first inning, but he made his first, multi-appearance of a week. He pitched Tuesday and Sunday. Sunday he came out of the bullpen, which I know some people kind of caught some people's attention and stuff like that. I think Altoona had been running with like a 6-man rotation for a couple weeks just because like rain delays and postpones. And so it looks like they're trying to get back on track. So they had Bubba come out of the bullpen for three innings. He picked up his first pro save. So overall in the week against Harrisburg, and you know Harrisburg has a pretty good lineup down there. He pitched total 7 1/3, only gave up one earned run and struck out 9. Only gave up 4 hits, 2 walks, which I think that's the big key with him is keeping everything in the zone, because when he stays in the zone, like that fastball is almost unhittable at times. So
yeah,
I think I saw him get up to like 98. They said like something he was getting up to 98 a couple times up there. So good
to see. Yeah, it's interesting too. He did this against Harrisburg, and you mentioned like that lineup is really good. His best start of the season up to this point was against Harrisburg also.
He's done really well because like his one start last year in AA was against Harrisburg too. So like, and that was, they had James Wood there at the time too. So like mm-hmm. they were even better. Like he shows up whenever the lineup is good. So
yeah, that's a good bounce back week. Cause I think he was, the week before he pitched 2/3 of an inning, couldn't even get out of the first, against, who was that against Akron?
It was Akron.
So yeah, nice week from Bubba Chandler, the 9 strikeouts, 2 walks, certainly good to see. Cause yeah, the walking has been kind of an issue up to this point.
Yeah, he's at like a 12% walk rate right now, I think. Right around there on the season. The strikeout rate, I mean, it's right at 30%. Like opponents have just like a 573 OPS against him. The swinging strike, like he's not getting as many whiffs as he was maybe last year. I think it was when I did the count, he had like 10 or 11 on Sunday. So, I mean, that's pretty good. That's a nice step forward. So that should bump things up a little bit. So key with him is just kind of staying in the zone. Staying near the zone, that kind of stuff. So,
yeah, and I think if he's able to, and you and Nola talked about this on your podcast last week, right? Like, this would normally be his junior year in college, right? Yeah. So if he's able to put up a nice season in AA this year, mm-hmm. like he's well on his way to being where you want him to be.
Exactly. And too, when you think about it, too, like if he had gone the college route, he's probably a two-way guy in college too. So he's still not even focused on just pitching at that point. So like, he's probably like, he's one of those candidates that could like start at, like, let's say the Pirates drafted him this year, start at like Bradenton the following year, because like now, okay, well now we got to get you just focusing on pitching. So like, he's still way ahead of the game at this point.
Yeah. That's a good assessment there. So yeah. Nice week from Bubba Chandler. Who else we got? Pitchers.
I mean, I think we talked about him last week too, or it was the week before, but like Michael Kennedy is on a roll right now. Like he is like he only needed 71 pitches to get to complete six innings, gave up a run, still hasn't allowed a walk since like his second start of the season. I think it's like three or four straight now that he has not allowed a walk. He had right at a 40% whiff rate with the fastball. And like I said, for him to be able to do what he's doing with that fastball right now, when it's only averaging right at 90 miles an hour, pretty impressive. He gets a ton of life up in the zone. Even the slider and the changeup was getting a lot of it. He totaled 17 total whiffs with overall on his last start. Whiff rate of almost 50%.
I guess just to dive into that a little bit, because we've talked about Kennedy quite a bit. And I think, I like Kennedy coming out of that draft in 22, high school arm, lefty. And I think he got on a lot of people's radars this off season when Dan Szymborski, who's been a guest on our show, annually, he put out the Zips top 100 prospects, and Michael Kennedy was pretty high on that list, right? So like, what is it exactly about that fastball? Like, what is it that makes it special? Is it similar to like the Bailey Falter thing where like it's an extension?
It doesn't have like the, it's mainly the extension. The extension's right up there. I think I did, like I pulled what his extension was and like compared it to like major league pitchers on Baseball Savant, and like it was somewhere around like the 70 to 72nd percentile when it comes into, and so like well above average kind of. It doesn't quite
is that
have
something,
like
is that something that like gets better over time? Like can you learn extension?
I mean, I would imagine that you can make tweaks and stuff like that. With the big thing with him is like the extension plus like the low arm angle. Like it's the combination of that. So like the extension gets way out there, and then he's also coming at a lot lower of arm angle. So not only is it like getting on the hitters quicker, but it's coming from that like funky angle as well. So that's the big thing with Kennedy there. And he works backwards a lot. So like he'll actually set up a lot of guys with like his slider and then like finish them with like once there's like looking slider, he goes up the ladder with the fastball kind of thing. So.
Yeah. I mean, six innings, one run, eight strikeouts, no walks. He hasn't walked a batter since April 13th. And that's not the type of command you see from a 19-year-old kid. Like usually 19-year-olds are kind of all over the place. And he's locked in right now.
He's a young 19 too. He's like a November, December birthday as well. So like he'll be 19 this entire year. So like he's a very young 19-year-old too, and like the progress that he's making, and like we've seen it in the majors with like Jared Jones, with like his control and command, like the just huge step that he's taking, and like Kennedy, like I mean it's at single A, but like he made like a giant leap so far with that control on there, and he's just like easily it looks easy for him out there right now.
Yeah. That's good to see. $1 million signing bonus out of high school, 2022 fourth round pick. The pitching really top to bottom is looking really good kind of throughout the system. I think they all had a really good week this week.
There's a couple guys on Bradenton too that you could kind of like, they almost threw a no hitter on Thursday. I think it was like,
okay.
They took the no hitter into like the ninth inning, and it was like a bloop single to the only hit that they gave up. So
what is it that you all were saying? Like the average OPS in the Florida State League is like 650. Like the hitters just aren't doing
it. And it's a lot of the stadium too. Like the ball flies out during like spring and stuff like that. But once you start getting in the summer down there too, like the ball just doesn't travel like it does early on in the year. So a lot of dead ball kind of stuff.
All right, well let's shift gears. Let's go to the hitting side. Who do we got offensively?
So one guy that I was really interested in seeing this year after the complex league, we don't get much video and there's not a lot of information and stuff like that on yet. But Eddie Rodriguez was a guy that I was really kind of intrigued in, and he started the year on the injured list, finally got it starting getting into the games. He's played in 8 games so far. He has an OPS of 882, 2 doubles, 6 RBIs. The strikeout rate's under 20% right now with the walk rate over 10. He had a 3-hit game this past week, another game with 4 RBIs. Those were actually on like back-to-back days. So he's looked really good so far. The contact rate's been pretty good. He's only chasing outside of the zone for like 15% of the time. So really, that's something too, like we've kind of noticed with some of like the Bradenton kids, especially some like the international, you know, like Shelian Prolanco is like really struggling with that kind of stuff right now, like chasing out of the zone. So to see a hitter come in and to be very new to the level, kind of get off to a late start, you know, starting on the injured list to be able to be that patient with it. He, like his, whenever you like break it up by like fastball and breaking ball and off speed pitches, like he has 100% in zone contact rate with the fastball. It drops down to like the low 70s with breaking and off speed. So like that is something, but like I could probably pull up like 5 or 6 other hitters on Bradenton too that are like way below that right now.
Yeah.
Who have a lot more experience at that level. So, and it's a really small sample size too, 8 games. So.
Yeah, I mean, so far so good. He's sitting going into today, he was hitting 391. I guess the thing that strikes out that jumps out to me with him is he's like one of those only guys in Bradenton who isn't striking out a ton too. Like he's putting the ball in play, and good things are happening. His BABIP is through the roof, so that's cool to see. I guess my question with him, you know, he's played some first base in the past. Is he pretty much a corner outfielder, or like, can he play the position?
I know there's a guy that we had mentioned like before, like you sent me a message that you wanted to talk about too. Mm-hmm. Compared to him, like I think Eddie Rodriguez has more of a chance to play a corner position. He's looked pretty good. There's a ball that bounced off the wall that he played really well and limited to a single. Over the weekend, there's a lot of first base guys there in Bradenton right now, so that he's gotten a decent amount of work in the outfield. I think he has a good chance to like stick in a corner spot right now, probably more so than a couple of the other guys that are in Bradenton right now.
Okay. Who else? Who else we got offensively?
So this is a guy that I don't think it was him exactly, but like he's this. Kind of the same that I know we've had conversations about before. But Sammy Siani is playing, and Noah's going to love that. He's played, like, I know it's his third year in Greensboro, but like he's on like a different, like this is a different Sammy Siani that I've seen before. And like, I guess it could be the third year in Greensboro, but I mean, he had picked up 8 hits, 2 home runs, 2 doubles, didn't strike out at all last week. So, and then walked.
That's very un-Sammy Siani like.
Yes. Yeah. And I didn't see what his strikeout rate was, but I believe it was like under 20% at this point. So I think he's walking a little bit less, but the strikeouts have really come down this year. And
he's at 11.7% strikeout rate right now, which is incredible because he hasn't been under 30. In either of his past 2 years.
Yeah.
And I guess the thing that's, you know, intriguing about Siani, right, is like the pedigree's there. Like the dude was a first round pick. Like he was, he was one of the collective bargaining picks, but I mean, 37th overall pick. This dude had talent.
He was drafted before Gunnar Henderson. Yeah. Gunnar Henderson went after him.
Yes, like this dude he had talent, right? Yeah. And it's clear that, you know, he was one of those toolsy guys, right? Mm-hmm. Fast, power, hitting, fielding, and he just like never put it together.
Yeah.
Especially at the plate, just hasn't been able to make enough contact. Well, he's making contact this year, and the results are really, really good. Again, he's 23. He's in Greensboro. I guess the thing to watch with him right now is if this continues, he's Rule 5 eligible this offseason. Yeah. So, like, I don't know how much time you can maybe keep him in Greensboro. Like, if this is his third year and he's shown, hey, you know what, I'm better than these guys now, I would try to get this guy up to double A as soon as possible. Oh, yeah, definitely. To see if it's real, right? Because if it's real, then all right, maybe we talk about protecting this guy. If it's not, then you know it's not. I think it's time to push the button with him a little bit.
Absolutely. And even like to a lesser extent, like Hudson Head too, because he's showing a lot more power this year too. I think he's up to like 4 or 5 home runs right now, which would be among the most in the system. But like definitely like Ciani, I mean, there's nobody really in Altoona that you can really say is like, well, we don't want to cut into his playing time at this point. So, and it might be time for like a little bit of a shakeup there anyways, because most of the guys that are in Altoona now have been there for a couple years. So, you know,
and they're not doing anything.
Time to kind of they're not really doing anything with the chat. So yeah, Ciani's definitely a guy that, like you said, very toolsy guy. You know, just sometimes those guys just take a little bit longer to kind of let everything click, and it's definitely clicking right now. So he already has, like, you can't say he doesn't have experience at the level. So there's really nothing left to keep him there, and there's nobody blocking him at this point. So he'd be one of the first guys that, like, I don't like to talk about like or get into like promotions this early in the season, but whenever you are ready to start pulling the trigger on a couple guys, he'd definitely be one of the first guys that I'd be looking at giving a shot.
I want to say, let me just double check this, but I think Greensboro is in Bowling Green this week. They are. So, I may have to try to make my way to a game. If I had to go, if there was a pitcher I needed to see in Greensboro,
I could send you the pitching schedule for the
week. Okay. Yeah. I might see what I can do there. All right. Well, hey, that's exciting. I mean, that's a guy everybody's heard of, but kind of hasn't done anything up to this point. And yeah, go to his Fangraphs page, guys. It looks good. It looks really good this year. I mean, it is his third year at the level, but it looks pretty good. Yeah. All right. So the one thing I did want to kind of discuss with you, though, this isn't a new article by any means, but it just caught my eye for some reason for the first time this weekend. And it was, you know, Fangraphs does their top 100 prospects, but then they also do an article where it's like, all right, who could be a top 100 prospect next year? And there's a section on here where they like source the league, right? They go to scouts, personnel directors, player development folks, things like that. And there's three Pirates who were named on this list. First one's Thomas Harrington. I think we've all discussed Thomas Harrington at length. We know exactly who Thomas Harrington is. And I would say, you know, Pirates fans, yeah, we hope Thomas Harrington's a top 100 prospect next year, right? But then there's two other names here that I think a lot of Pirates fans aren't necessarily familiar with. So I want to just get a quick rundown on these guys so we can get a little bit of a primer, right? So let's start on the pitching side. The name that pops up is Alessandro Urcolani. He's in Greensboro, pitcher, 20 years old, actually just turned 20 years old. So talk to us about Alessandro Urcolani.
I know over on the site, that's one of the guys that we talk about a lot. That's a guy that like we're really high on. Like you said, he's just turned 20, so he started the year last year at like 18, so really young. When we actually talked about it, we were actually kind of planning on maybe him starting the year in Bradenton again, just to kind of get things going. He did miss like the last half of the season to an injury. I think most fans, if they've heard of him, it was probably because like the Arizona Fall League, he went to the Arizona Fall League last year. Didn't really go well for him there. I think he walked like 11 people in like 3 innings or something like that.
Yeah.
Has control issues. Doesn't have control issues to that extent. So that was a little outlier with it. One thing that I would say, like, that when Baseball America, you know, they're doing all their content for the Arizona Fall League, I guess they have like their own Stuff Plus metric that they use. And his cutter actually graded out as one of the better pitches of any that was heading to the Fall League. So has a really good cutter. Fastball, he can get up into the upper 90s. He's still kind of working on maintaining it a little bit deeper into games. Like right now, I would probably project him more as like a reliever long term, but because of his age, he still had, there's still a chance, like if he can figure a way to like start holding the velocity deeper, then it kind of, I think that is probably the key to him unlocking into potentially being like a top 100 guy. If he starts holding that velocity deeper into games, he's a good slider to go with it. Throws a curveball every now and again, a little bit of a changeup. So he mixes up to like five or six pitches. But it's really fastball cutter with like the slider mainly right now.
Yeah.
When he got that push to Greensboro, like, you know, we were a little worried about like how he do. Maybe he'd get beat up a little bit. He's looked pretty good so far. I think he gave up like a home run his last time out. Got hit a little bit around, but for the most part, very very solid start to the season.
Right. I think the other thing too that's interesting about him, he's from San Marino.
San Marino. Mm-hmm.
Which is
the population could fit inside a PNC Park. Like, if he makes a major league debut, you can just give tickets to the entire population and have them come, and there'd still be room for.
He'd have to be the first ever person from San Marino to make the majors, absolutely. Right?
Yeah.
Like, he's got to be the first like pro ball San Marinan or whatever. I don't know what you call him, but like, like San Marino is basically a village in Italy. Like that's what it is. So yeah, no, that's pretty neat. And then so Urkelani's the one guy, and then the second player they mentioned, Esmerlin Valdez, who I don't know anything about.
He was another guy that, like, along with Eddie Rodriguez, that I was really interested in seeing. I feel like positionally, like going back to the position, I feel like he's more likely to end up like only at first base. He looks like he struggles a little bit out there when it comes to tracking balls and finding. He has a really good arm. Like, the arm is really strong, but I just think he has some trouble like tracking and just getting around out there. I first base would probably just be more natural. It also let him just like work on the hitting specifically. He's been off to like a, it's weird. Like, the numbers look a lot better than, like, when you start like peeling stuff back and start looking at some like the underlying stuff, maybe isn't as pretty, but then when you go and you just watch him, he passes the eye test like constantly. He had a really good week this last week, hit a home run. The strikeout rate is kind of a little higher right now. I think it's right at like 30%. Still early in the season. A lot of that stuff still coming back. A lot of these kids do struggle their first. Like, we saw with Omar Alfonso last year, he really struggled in his first part. He went back down to the FCL, came back up, and that's when he really kind of took off. So some of these kids, it takes a little bit to make that adjustment, taking the leap into full season ball. But I feel like it's hard to get. We've seen what happens to a lot of kids once they hit like Altoona. So like, I try to be like cautious now when it comes to like the lower level guys, but he's one of the guys I'm most excited about in the lower levels as far as hitters.
Awesome. Well, yeah, I mean, definitely someone to look at, especially with the way the first base position is just shaping up in general. Like, there's doesn't seem like there's really anyone on deck for the Pirates. So the fact that there's like someone who exists in the system who plays first base who's excelling right now is nice to see. But no, thanks for hopping on here. When this airs, we're recording this Sunday night. When this airs, you're going to be on a plane to Bradenton. So
absolutely.
So safe travels. Enjoy your time there. Complex League games, Bradenton Marauders games, all on the schedule for you?
Nothing but a lot of baseball. I am not a person that does good out in the heat, but we're going to make it work, I guess.
Make sure you go to the beach at least once, all right? Like, it's probably really nice down there.
You'll find me even less at a beach. Like, I don't do beaches either. So
May, I'll bet the water on Anna Marie Island in May is just gorgeous.
I mean, I may have to make an exception, so we'll see.
You'll have to make an exception. All right. Well, hey, appreciate you. Thanks for coming on. Again, safe travels. Enjoy your weekend, Brayden.
All right, man, I appreciate it.
All right. Also, Bucks on Deck. Make sure you're subscribed to the Substack. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. Really good prospect podcast comes out on Tuesdays. And then follow him on Twitter, _Murphy88. 88,
yep.
Yeah, there we go. All right. Appreciate you.
No problem, man. Thanks for having me.
See ya.
All right. Good stuff.
Yeah, he is on his way to Bradenton. So next week when we have him on, he'll We'll have some in-person reporting for us.
That'd be cool. Right?
Yeah.
And apparently not going to be at a beach, going to Florida, living where he lives and not dealing with heat. I don't know. What have you done all your life, Murph? But at any rate, yeah, that was kind of interesting about Urkelani. I'll say that. I know we kind of laughed a little last year. You know, we made Arizona fall. Like, well, this system's kind of weird and awkward and whatever. And now there's talks that he might be like a future top 100 guy. So keep your eye out on him.
Yeah. Yeah. I was excited to talk about those two guys. Like I said, it was an article from February, but I must have missed it. And so I wanted to make sure we brought up those two.
Right. Yeah. I know he's brought them up before. So I guess keep your eye out. Any rate. All right. So looking forward this week, the Pirates do play the Angels. Jim, I don't want to do what we've been doing. This is a team that if you are the Pirates and you are looking forward to getting back to your winning ways and getting your hitting on track, you would be encouraged to see the Angels, the Mike Troutless Angels. But we've been here before, so I'm not going to say it. But at any rate, Jim, they are playing them. We should preview it. Let's just start off with this. Cole Tucker revenge game. He's back. And he's producing.
Yeah, there's actually a few cool, weird revenge game storylines here. Not only Cole Tucker, but yeah, who has played 4 games now, I want to say. Five games for the Angels. He's hitting 417 in those 5 games. So he's off to a pretty good start. I'm sure we'll see him at some point. He's been getting, you know, sparingly playing time there, but yeah, it's nice to see Cole Tucker back in the big leagues. You know, I think everybody likes Cole Tucker. Like nobody's rooting against the guy. So, yeah, best of luck to him. Not this series. Like, hopefully he has a terrible series. But then he can go back to raking afterwards. Sure. But yeah, it's the Mike Troutless Angels, and they've been having some issues since Mike Trout's been hurt. Looking at their team too, only the White Sox have given up more runs this season in the American League than the Angels. And it's a tight race. So we know how terrible the White Sox are. The White Sox have given up only 2 more runs than the Angels this season. So yeah, if you're looking for a team to finally get on track against, it's these guys.
Right. A week ago, we talked about the A's pitching, right? And the starting pitching is where to get them at, because the starting pitcher was bad. However, the relievers were pretty solid. The Angels are not. They're all around just bad as far as pitching goes, like you're mentioning. So right, like there is that aspect of it. Like, the pitching is really, really bad. The offense has been okay, actually. Like, it's been basically about league average, but that's while having a Mike Trout. Now without Mike Trout, there's still some guys in there that you want to worry about. Joe Adell having a really, really good season right now. I'm not going to say like, oh, you know, he's now what as advertised as a prospect and he's there now, but like, he is so far having a pretty, pretty damn good season. So got to look out for. Outside of that, Taylor Ward, your boy Taylor Ward, Jim, he's still producing over there. But yeah, like there's some guys in the offense too that, you know, you're not running off. But overall, the offense actually has been really, really bad, especially without.
Yeah, there's a few names there. I mean, you mentioned Ward. You mentioned Adell. Luis Renjifo too, hitting 330. So apparently, like there's some guys hitting the ball. It's not a scary lineup by any means. Like there's no one in this lineup where you're like, we can't let this guy beat us, right? There's some. It's a lineup. I feel like it's like just sort of made up of role players, right? Especially now with Trout gone. Ward is maybe the one guy who can do damage. Joe Adell is, you know, capable of doing some damage, but he's kind of cooled off too a little bit. Yeah, we'll see. I think it's a good chance for Pirates pitching to hopefully perform well. Pitching wise, Tyler Anderson, I think, is starting tonight. He's actually had a pretty decent season. Sandoval goes on Tuesday. Jose Siriano, who, if you're a Pirates fan, you may remember, he was the Pirates' Rule 5 pick in the offseason of 2020. And he was on the IL the entire season.
Yeah.
And then returned to the Angels the next offseason. So the Pirates had Jose Siriano on their roster for an entire year and gave him back to the Angels. And he's actually putting together a semi-okay season as well. So
semi-okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's so that's an interesting storyline there. You know, former Pirate Jose Soriano, who pitched zero games but was on the team for a year. Yeah, it's a series that, I mean, just kind of looking back on all these series that they've been playing here lately, it's a series they should win. Like, they're the better team. The Angels are struggling. They're 12-22 this season. They're not good. So you're at home against these guys. This is your chance for the bats to wake up. This is your chance to put up a couple of wins, because right after this series, it goes Cubs, Brewers, Cubs, right?
Yeah.
So, yep. Like, get it together right now. This is your chance to get it together.
You're absolutely right, because, you know, the games that really, really matter are coming up. And we just opened the show talking about, you know, was the Colorado Rockies series enough to, like, the turning point for this offense? They have to find it here, because it's going to mean a lot right now. And you have a chance, not going to say it's going to happen, right? But, like, you have a chance to get back to 500 right here. So, like, this, the opportunity of this series is a full reset. You can get back to 0-0, start a whole new season. Now you're facing the division teams that matter. You know, like, you can make some difference in the standings here. And it all starts with this, right? This series. So, yeah, I'm not saying, like, this is, like, a super important series, right? It still is May or whatever, but they need to get on track soon, because if they're going to dig themselves too much of a hole here. And then, right, you know, the cool thing about this, too, is, like, the pitching is pretty bad for the Angels, but, like, they're also not facing, like, Reed Detmers, you know? So, like, the cool thing is they're facing Tyler Anderson is having a really good season. Mind you, I will say that, like, not to discredit him, but it's also like they're not facing, like, their best pitcher either on the terrible staff. So they need to, man. I hope the offense comes alive. Obviously, they're playing at home too, so not going out west, where the, you know, the Giants and A's series was just terrible. So at least they're facing them in PNC Park. Yeah, I don't know much more to add to this. Let's 2 out of 3 at least. They need it.
Yeah, they need to win some games. Like,
yeah,
they need their confidence back. They need their swagger back. You kind of saw it creeping back yesterday. Like, guys were having fun. People were smiling. Like, that's what you want to see this team do, because it hasn't been fun for a long time. And, you know, we've done 3 weeks of post game shows, and it has not been fun, right?
Correct.
It's way more fun when we're here after a win. We're giving away sandwiches. We're talking about hitting and pitching and scoring. We haven't been doing that a lot lately. So let's get back to some winning ways.
That sounds excellent. So let's do that. Let's kick it off tonight with a big W. Probably the hardest, again, challenge. It's going to be Tyler Anderson. But let's do it, Pirates.
Let's do it.
Everybody. All right, we're going to get out of here then?
Let's do it.
So as always, appreciate you guys for listening, for watching. If you haven't, like the video, subscribe to our channel. Check out the memberships with the links below here as well. And also, I know we haven't talked too much about this, but the tailgate, June 22nd, that's in the links in the description here as well. You know, we are going to be doing a live tailgate June 22nd, Kutch bobblehead night, I guess you want to put it. And yeah, catered, sponsored by Permane Brothers as well. So make sure you click that link, RSVP if you plan on going, and that way we can make sure we have sandwiches for everybody. But with that said, yes, again, thank you all. We'll be back. Bye bye.
See you guys.
Hey, you all. Thank you for watching. I know we try to provide the most entertaining content that we can, and we'd love to spread it to as many people as possible. So I know it doesn't seem like a lot, But if you could take the 5 seconds to like this video and subscribe to the page, it helps out so much more than you know. Thank you, and let's go Bucks.